Well, 2018 marks the 200th year for the state of Illinois. There's celebrations abound. And back in March, it was front page news. One of the ways that the state's honoring the bicentennial is by creating Rhodes Scholars, resident experts who can shine light on all the great things the state has accomplished over those 200 years. Tonight, we talk about one of those areas with one of those scholars. John Wasik is a longtime Illinois author who's penned 17 books, including Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. In almost all of his books, Wasik talks about innovation. That's his bread and butter. That's at the heart of his lectures surrounding Tesla and, of course, his work as an Illinois Rhodes Scholar. In his travels and speeches all over the state, he talks about 200 years of prairie power and how the land of Lincoln should be better recognized for its part in American innovation. That's our conversation tonight at the Big Table with my guest, John Wasik. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So this is great. I love this. And I did not know that the state of Illinois was doing this to create this these Rhodes Scholars to do this. Talk about the experience of being selected and why innovation.
Well, it's quite an honor. But the reason that I chose this topic to talk around the state is because not a lot of people put innovation in Illinois in the same sentence. And it's a tragedy because so much has happened here.
That's amazing when you go down the list of things that have been invented here, the innovations that have changed the way we think as human beings and operate as human beings. It's exhausting, but in a good way, exhaustive, I should say. I mean, where does your interest in innovation come from? I mean, why does innovation pop up in all the books that you've written?
Well, mostly through creativity. I like the creative process. In the Tesla book, I explored how he really visualized what he wanted to do, and then he created it. I've always been a big fan of Leonardo and all the great geniuses. Plus, you know, people who did things that we know about, you know, like John Deere and the plow, McCormick and the reaper. And there's a long list of people in Illinois who just did something they needed to have to do to create something that was useful. Right. So my broad brush is not just creating something useful, but the whole creative process.
So it's all about the process. What do you think it is about the state of Illinois when it comes to the process?
Well, it's a hotbed for creativity. You just go down the list of Nobel Prize winners we have here, Saul Bellow, Ernest Hemingway, a long list of economics geniuses from the University of Chicago. There's an incubator at the Polsky Center at the university. It's happening now. It has always happened. We're in the middle of the country, and we need to create things.
That's really what it comes down to, the necessity.
Right. It's a pragmatic way of thinking about the world. You got to plow the prairie. The prairie's real hard. You can't do it with wood, so you have to use steel. I mean, just simple things like that lead to a whole lot of other things.
Well, I mentioned the idea of prairie power, and that's really at that's the cornerstone. That's the heart and soul of what you're talking about when you talk about your lectures and your speeches around the state. What is prairie power?
Well, it's this idea that we have a tremendous amount of intellectual energy. We have capital. We have, you know, this waterway system. We have an interstate. We have transportation hubs. But it's the power. It's this human capital that drives it all. And we have so much of it here, and we don't even think about it.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to do in this hour is talk about the things that we don't even think about. Because you just mentioned several areas that I wouldn't necessarily think, oh yeah, I guess we have contributed to innovation here in this country through what we do with the transportation hub or what we do with our water and our waterways. But let's start, I mean, when you talk 200 years of the state of Illinois, even in the mid-19th century, you're talking about inventions and innovations that, you know, now we take for granted, meaning people know when you talk John Deere, even people just know about the tractor. But talk about what are the early days of inventions that we should be paying attention to as Illinois residents.
Well, one of the most remarkable things is that in 1871, most of the city burned down. So we literally had to reinvent architecture. We had to reinvent building. The skyscraper came out of that. Louis Sullivan. The whole idea that you could do vertical things and they wouldn't burn down. It was a big concept.
Yeah, that's right.
The modern city was pretty much invented here.
That's amazing to think about, too. You're right, because there was a lot of wood was used. And then that fire happened. They're like, maybe we try a different material.
Not a great building material.
You know, obviously, the 1871 and the fire, a lot of things came to light. And it goes back to this central idea that you even mentioned at the beginning, that it's out of necessity. It's not that we're a land of Lincoln where we're sitting around going, what are we going to invent next? It does come down to this idea that because of where we were, maybe it's the where we are at the right time and the right place as a state, that a lot of the inventions and the innovations that were happening was because, frankly, we needed it at that moment.
Well, necessity is the mother of invention. And, you know, we had a big problem here when the effluent from the meatpacking houses went into the river went into the lake, that was our drinking water, people got typhus, cholera, and they died. So we had to do something really inventive, like create this whole canal system to send our sewage down to St. Louis. They didn't appreciate it, but something they had to do.
We're talking with John Wasik. He is one of Illinois' Rhodes Scholars. We're talking about innovation. He is going around the state talking about innovation. He's speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. You can find out information about that. John Wasik is my guest tonight. We're talking innovation. We'll take a quick break. Come back. Continue the conversation. Stay with us. Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest at the big table tonight, John Wasik. He's an author. He's written over 17 books, a lot of them about innovation. His latest, Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. John is one of the Illinois Rhodes Scholars, the experts that have been put together to celebrate the bicentennial. He goes around the state of Illinois doing speeches and having conversations. It's great to look online for everywhere from Oak Park to downtown Chicago to Moline. You're all over the place in different places. How's it been for you? I mean, to be able to have this conversation about innovation in so many different parts of the state of Illinois.
You know, I'm always shocked at how surprised people are to hear that Illinois is an innovation hub. And then they're kind of uplifted because it's really kind of reassuring that they're living in a state that's producing some really valuable things.
And they continue to do it. I mean, the state does. It continues to produce innovation. We'll get into that and talk about the future. But why do you think it is that it's overlooked? That's the part I have lived here my entire life, and I don't feel that it's been a storyline that has been spoon-fed to me. I don't feel like it's in the DNA like Hog Butcher to the World, that kind of thing.
Well, it's not part of the narrative, and it's been lost for any number of reasons. The full flyover mentality, Silicon Valley is really the tech center, MIT, but I did the math. There has been more Nobel Prizes won in Illinois than any other country except for the U.S. as a whole. I mean, I had to look at it three times, just between Chicago and U of I.
And you wonder, too, because even with the incubators that are happening now in the state of Illinois, in the city of Chicago, whether it be 1871, and we have a lot of conversations here on the show about tech, the tech startup world here, it still is always about, we're bringing it to the Midwest. We're bringing it to Chicago. It doesn't have to be in Silicon Valley. Rarely does it ever reflect or embrace the fact that the state of Illinois has always been in that conversation.
Well, it has been, and it's been in a number of different areas. We have the most diverse economy in the whole country. We have food tech, we have health, we have pharma, we have, you know, the markets. We have all these innovations that happen in different industries, and it's not like that in New York. It's not like that in San Francisco. And we had to do things because we're pushing commodities out to the rest of the world.
It's still, listening to this, it boggles the mind that it's not front and center. I mean, you'll get more of a conversation about how great the trains are, the L trains, or more of a conversation about the melting pot neighborhoods of the city of Chicago than you will about being a leader, a world global leader in a lot of the areas you just talked about.
Well, Midwesterners are typically very humble, and that's okay because we used to be farmers mostly. And we still have that sort of ethos that we're here to help each other, that we're here to help the guy whose maybe crop isn't doing so well. And that whole ecosystem has spread to this entrepreneurial spirit, which has been going on for 200 years.
The state obviously has a lot of different faces. And, you know, if you're up here in the city of Chicago, right on Michigan Avenue, you think of Chicago as a metropolis. Mm-hmm. This idea of big city, urban invention, you talked about the transportation hub, what we know about O'Hare Airport, things of that nature. But Illinois is vast in its diversity when it comes to the kind of industries that innovate. Let's talk about farming, because John Deere, and it's kind of, I think that's the one that crosses over where most people who have grown up in this state know the story of John Deere and the tractor and the inventions at the time. Talk about his impact and the impact on the state of Illinois and, of course, the world.
Well, it changed agriculture. Once he had the steel plow, which he invented with a rusty saw blade originally, it allowed us to access this tremendously fertile soil that goes from here to roughly the Rocky Mountains. So it literally changed agriculture, allowed us to feed not only this country, but the rest of the world. And, you know, because the soil was so fertile, we could do high-yield crops. We could do hybrid corn, soybeans, things like that, and we're still doing it.
It's amazing to think, too, because a lot of times I don't know if that story, the story of agriculture and innovation in that industry, is told on a global level about the state of Illinois.
Well, here's the real bottom line is that it was really Abraham Lincoln who signed the Morrill Act who said, look, let's make R&D a national project. Let's create these land-grant institutions like U of I, U of Michigan, Iowa, Wisconsin, to do investment in, at that time, agriculture, because we needed to feed ourselves. We were expanding. And then it went into other areas like engineering. That's why Illinois is such a great engineering school, because we had to build cities after people left the farms. So, again, necessity is the mother of invention.
John, Abraham Lincoln plays a big role in innovation in the state of Illinois, but also in your speech and your lecture. Talk about Abraham Lincoln, because he's known to be an inventor.
And a lot of people don't know this, but Honest Abe is, I think, the only president to hold a patent. He designed a boat that could hold more cargo, because when he was a young man, he went from Springfield all the way down to Mississippi, New Orleans, and back, and you know, he had to design a better boat, and he was always thinking about productivity. He was always thinking about infrastructure. And he wanted this growing country, you know, to be linked by a railroad, have great universities, solid education.
That's amazing to think that he may be the only president that holds a patent.
As far as
for
I
now,
tell,
for that, now.
According to my research, anyway.
Right. Let's talk about some of the others. The electrical grid.
Yes.
Plays a big role. You wouldn't think of that being a state of Illinois innovation.
The really interesting thing that happened is that electricity was a very novel concept up until the early 1890s. And then the Columbian Exposition came along, and they had a chance to display alternating current. And that was Nikola Tesla's technology. And Westinghouse bankrolled them, lit up all these electric light bulbs, and showed the world what it could look like. And then people got the idea, well, maybe we could power the L system. Maybe we could illuminate the streets. Maybe we could have elevators in buildings. So it was created here, but it took root because a guy named Sam Insull, founder of ComEd, protege of Thomas Edison, came into the city and said, look, let's build this thing big. Let's build a huge power system that can first, you know, power this trolley system and then everything else. So he built the first turbo generator, united the generating part with the steam part in one unit. And you thought it was going to blow up. And the plant's still there, the Fisk Street plant down in 55.
That's awesome.
Been there since 1903. It was a world-changing event.
And I think about the exposition, the Columbian Exposition, just this idea of not only being a state that has innovation at its heart and inventors and other people who are harnessing that creativity, but being open enough to bring a World's Fair to this area that brings other inventors and other innovators to this area, like Tesla, like others who are going to come in and share ideas. And it takes someone from the state of Illinois to say, well, maybe we can do this.
It's a build it, they will come mentality. And it happened because, well, we had to rebuild the city after 1871, brought in people like Louis Sullivan, Daniel Burnham, Root. I mean, they had to redesign everything and make it modern and make it accommodating to a vertical sort of building ethos. And that was pretty new to civilization.
Yeah. John Wasik is in studio tonight. He is the author of Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla, and also Illinois Rhodes Scholar who goes around the state talking about innovation and prairie power. He's speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. It's coming up next Tuesday. And he's my guest tonight. We'll take a break, get an update on tonight's news. We'll come back and let's talk about how we see innovation today. I mean, with what's happening here in the state of Illinois and especially in the city of Chicago, right over at the Merchandise Mart. It's amazing to look at right in front of our eyes. And we'll talk about what we are seeing now that is impacting the world as we know it when it comes to innovation. John Wasik in studio, my guest at the big table. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, as you know, 2018 is the 200th year for the state of Illinois. Happy birthday. And back in March, they had the big celebration. That was the front page news. But what they did back in March is that the state of Illinois, they created these Rhodes Scholars, people who could talk about some of the things that are really important to the history of the state of Illinois, and one of which is innovation. John Wasik is a longtime author, 17 books. He's been on WGN many a times, talking with Milt and other people about his books. His latest is Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. He is a Rhodes Scholar for Innovation. He goes around the state and he does different lectures and events. He's going to be speaking at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on June 5th. That's at 1 o'clock. Coming up on Tuesday the 5th, but he's in studio tonight talking about this because, frankly, when you and I were talking, I was like, I didn't know about the long history of innovation in the state of Illinois. I might think about the city of Chicago because it's a big city and it's got a lot of things that obviously are you think about when you think about big cities, but when you talk about the state of Illinois, the big fact that sticks out, and you mentioned in the first part, Nobel Peace Prize winners. Mm-hmm. Like, we have more in the state of Illinois than any other country in the world besides the U.S.
And we also have the 17th largest economy in the world. So we produce a lot of things here. But more importantly, we also do some things in humanities. You know, Second City, Change Comedy, the Chicago Literary Renaissance from Harriet Monroe's Poetry Magazine, Carl Sandburg, all the way up to Gwendolyn Brooks. And then you extend that into the arts. You're talking about Chance, Common, you know, Oprah, you know, it's the whole list of people who came out of here.
And as we get deeper into this conversation, it does beg the question, why? I don't know if you and I can answer that, but this idea of what's in the water that creates innovation, that creates innovators, that people get this opportunity to risk and create new things that, quite frankly, are then consumed around the world.
Well, Chicago's like an inland port. Since we have two watersheds intersecting here, we're literally the crossroads of America. I mean, for a long time, the Great Lakes during the French era, that was the superhighway from Europe. And then they connected to the Mississippi system, and that was another superhighway. And then we created the rail system, and then, you know, the air system. So everybody seems to come through here for one reason or another. It was a big convention town, still is.
Yeah.
And when you're here, you have to have some sort of tolerance for new ideas. Because you're building a city, there's a lot of different kinds of people coming through here. And if you don't have tolerance, you can't have new ideas.
It is interesting, too, because Chicago has always had, and I always screw up this quote, but the make no small plans quote.
Mm-hmm. Daniel Burnham.
Yeah, Daniel Burnham.
Yeah.
But the idea that I think of even, and this has come up before, that even Lollapalooza is a good example of, mm-hmm. of, don't you want to live in a place where there are risks, where they want to create big things, that they want to try new opportunities and do things that you wouldn't think you could put that many people in a space in the lakefront and reinvent essentially how festivals have gone. I've had that conversation mm-hmm. on the radio talking about that. But this and you see it over and over with the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois of just this idea that new ideas are currency.
And you have to have aspiration. You have to want to try to do something big. And you also have to dream big, too. I mean, it doesn't always work out. In 68, the place was a mess. But there were people in the streets that were voicing their opinion. That was a good thing. That was an innovation for that time. And it's hard to believe that Chicago can do so many things well. But we do.
Let's talk about education before we get into the bigger questions about, you know, what we need to do to keep innovation working. But education plays a huge role. The education institutions in the state of Illinois have to get credit for innovation. The University of Illinois, of course, even here, Northwestern and the University of Chicago and other fine, great institutions. But the educational landscape in the state of Illinois also plays a big part of why this state is the 17th largest economy in the world.
Well, that's the foundation. When you have good universities, when you have a good secondary system, even pre-K is going to be very important. You can prepare minds to think critically, to think skeptically, to be able to fail, to have that resilience. I mean, that's essential, and that's why you need good universities like UIC, like University of Chicago, like DePaul, Lake Forest College. I mean, they are all fostering innovation just by creating this infrastructure of intellect, and it's so essential.
That's an interesting way to put it, too, that this idea of training young people and young innovators on how to be innovate, how to fail, how to take risks, to try, how to accept and harness the power of a new idea. All that, that's what college is all about.
And to know that you have the intellectual structure that if you do fail, you can try something else. Get yourself up again, try a new idea, see what happens.
And it's so, you hear it all the time from where I come from. I know you did Second City as well, Players Workshop stuff, but there's a ethos as well in comedy. And they always talk about Chicago is a place where people can get up on stage and try new things and take risks and fall on their face and be better for it, have more respect for it, understand them. They're essentially honing their craft, because when you get to the coast, the industry coast, Los Angeles or New York, you don't get second chances. You don't get third chances. You're there to essentially have your product. You become commerce at that point. But the actual creativity is happening here in Chicago. And I think that plays into a little bit of what you're talking about, the lectures and events.
And Justin, you know what's unique about that environment is it's an ecosystem, because you are collaborating with the audience. Second City, you're throwing out some ideas. They're throwing stuff back at you. It's not, you know, they're not throwing drinks at you, thank God, most of the time, but they're throwing ideas at you. So you're having an exchange of ideas, and it's not like all or nothing. If you don't, you know, hit the room hot, you know, you're going to fail. But not every idea works on stage, right?
All right.
It doesn't work in real life. Doesn't work in business.
Not even on this radio show. All right. My big question, and this is the one that I think has been swirling around in my brain about innovation and knowing where we're at as a big city and a state, knowing full well that we have this culture. What needs to be in place for it to thrive? Here we are in 2018, where you do have incubators all over the state of Illinois. You have new environments happening in Champaign-Urbana, and as well as here in the city of Chicago. We mentioned Merchandise Mart in 1871. Sure. But what we saw, and I saw this play out in the primary for governor, where Chris Kennedy was talking a lot about this idea that we need to connect our university system to our big cities. We need to create pipelines for these companies, for startups, for incubators to be able. That's what's going to make Illinois move forward. That's what's going to get us to even be bigger than we are. Is that when we start talking about the connections and trying to use government and the resources that are allocated through taxpayers to streamline innovation, is that a good idea? Is that on the table? Is that something that we should be thinking about?
Well, absolutely, because you have to think of education as part of the infrastructure. You know, it's just as important as fixing the Kennedy or adding more runways at O'Hare. It's you have to put the money in place to create this environment, to fund these institutions. UIC is expanding. University of Chicago has a great incubator at the Polsky Center. Northwestern's got an incubator. Everybody is working to collaborate, and they're all connecting. U of I Labs has got a new manufacturing center on Goose Island, and it's all happening. But you have to support it through policy. You have to say, this is what we want to do. This is how we grow.
Right.
You grow these different businesses by creating the infrastructure for the knowledge that you need to get out there.
I guess I would make I wonder, should government and our, especially when you talk about the state of Illinois, which is its own thing, should it be in that game? Should it be in the game of innovation? Should it be using its resources to try and foster that community, or in some ways accidentally stymie that, you know, innovation? Should government be in this business?
Well, I'm not going to argue that government in general is the answer, because it's not. But at the very least, government should provide the support, the capital, to let all this other human capital thrive. It's seed money. Think of it that way. It's like venture capital for creating minds, new ideas, new ventures. And you have to have it. It's not all going to come from the private sector. You need to put a generous amount of contribution into everything. I mean, you got to fix the roof of your house, right? You got to fix your driveway. You got to, you know, fix the heating system if it goes out. Mm-hmm. Education is even more important.
But John, this is what I love about this conversation, because we can get deep. You know, as a homeowner, I have to make a decision. Do I preemptively fix my heating situation before it breaks in the wintertime, or do I wait for it to break? And when I think about innovation in government, should we be using taxpayer money to seed and water the garden of innovation and make sure and hope that something comes out of it? Or should we be ready with our money for when good ideas come to spring and be able to use them right away?
Well, to use the heating system metaphor, I literally replaced the heating system in my own house, and I had to do it, and I didn't even know it, and I waited and waited and waited. The guy comes out and says, oh, your heat exchanger's cracked, which means it probably would have killed us. So investing in this intellectual infrastructure is essential. We won't be able to thrive in the world economy without it. We need the capital.
Do we need big stories to change the way the world looks at the state of Illinois when it comes to innovation? Do we need the Oprah Winfreys? Do we need a new business that comes out that is the new Groupon and everyone goes, oh my God, you've changed the way coupons work or whatever it might be? Is that the way that we change the paradigm when it comes to how Illinois is seen in the world of innovation?
Yes, we need to change the narrative. And here's why. When you change the narrative, everybody latches onto that story. So let's say the narrative has been violence or the Cubs or pick any number of things that have come
right,
out of here.
Right.
You change the narrative to say, we're a central location. We're a hub for the innovation economy. And then I think that's what we're in. We're coming out of the information economy, going into the innovation economy. We're trying to merge the two ethically and find decent employment for people and create new ideas. And we got a lot of problems, you know. It's climate change, yeah. You know, environmental concerns.
Yeah, it's also something that you hear the leaders of our, you know, whether it be the city or the state, talking about the social issues of our time, whether it might be violence or inequality or poverty, the economy, and wanting to apply what we know about innovation or new ideas and what we do well in the state of Illinois to fix those issues. To say, can what's coming out of 1871, can what's coming out of the young minds and these new ideas that really is an extension of what we've done in this state for 200 years, can we look there to fix some of the ills that are facing us right now in 2018?
Oh, without a doubt. I was at 1871 a couple hours ago talking to some entrepreneurs at the Blockchain Project. And they want to make Chicago the world center for blockchain. Very ambitious goal. But the whole idea is that they have a social entrepreneurial model. They want to do something good for the world. They just don't want to make money. Of course, it's always nice. But they want to create something of value that's going to help people. And I think that's a better model.
Yeah. John Wasik is the author of Lightning Strikes, Timeless Lessons in Creativity from the Life and Work of Nikola Tesla. He's a Rhodes Scholar for the state of Illinois, talking about innovation. He goes all over the state, from Oak Park to Lake Forest to Moline, all in between. And he's going to be at Loyola's Cuneo Museum in Vernon Hills on the 5th of June. That's at 1 o'clock, talking about this very topic about innovation. He's my guest tonight as we celebrate the bicentennial this year, 2018, in the state of Illinois. John, great to meet you, and thanks for coming in and having this conversation. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.